For if you forgive others for their sins, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you for your sins or transgressions. So Jesus said that if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. And then in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus said, to paraphrase, if you don't judge and condemn others, then God will not judge and condemn you. In other words, the mercy we show others is the mercy that God will show us, as it says in James 2:13. But if you judge and condemn others, that judgment will come back into your life. And then Ephesians 6:2-3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that things may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This, of course, is the fifth commandment. At the end of a service here in Mexico, a woman came to the altar and she was weeping. She said, I can't love my children. She had two sons, 9 and 6 years old. And she said, I always said, I'll never treat my children the way my mother treated me. She rejected me. She was very harsh and cruel. She had a terrible temper. She cursed me and beat me. And it hurt me very much. And I said, I'll never treat my children that way. But I lose my temper and I treat my children the same way. Sometimes I curse them and slap them. And I can see the pain in their eyes. And I say, God, help me. I'm a Christian. I don't want to act this way. But I can't change. What is my problem? What was her problem? Her problem was that she was breaking these teachings of the Lord. She had never forgiven her mother. And therefore, according to Jesus, God had not forgiven her. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. So she really hadn't been forgiven by Christ. And she had judged and condemned her mother. And Jesus said, if you judge others, that judgment will come back into your life. So how was that judgment coming back into her life? She was acting just like her mother. She was doing the same things her mother did. See, that was the trap of the devil. It says in Romans 2:1, who are you to judge another when you do the same things? The law of God says that if you judge and condemn someone else, you will do the same things they do. If you have a judgment in your heart against your father or your mother, you will act just like them. And the only way to get free is to forgive them and to repent for judging them. And then she had never honored her mother. She was breaking the fifth commandment. And things were not going well in her life. There was no peace in her life. She couldn't live with love with her children as she desired to, because she was trapped by the devil into acting just like her mother. So how did I minister to her? First, I led her to forgive her mother, to say, Lord, my mother hurt me very much, but by your grace, I forgive her. And secondly, to say, I repent for judging and condemning my mother. And third, to say, Lord, by your grace, I honor my mother. And she was quiet for a few moments, and then she started laughing. And she said, for the first time in my life, I feel love for my children. You see, immediately after she forgave, God changed her feelings. Now, I instructed her that now you have to resist the devil. He will. You have a lifetime of having resentment and bitterness against your children. And the devil will come back, and these feelings will come back. This habit will easily come back. And so you're going to have to resist the devil. And if you fall back into anger and cursing your children and hitting them, immediately stop and repent and say, oh, Lord, I repent. And stop and ask your children to forgive you. Ask your husband to help you. Ask your pastor, your Christian friends to help you. Be accountable to them. See, stopping these habits is not easy. Cutting these bad roots, getting these hooks out of our heart is the first step. But then we have to resist the devil and follow Christ and obey Him and discipline ourselves so that we can stop committing these sins. So, what do you do if you forgive someone and your heart does not immediately change? Your feelings don't change. When you think of that person who hurt you or you see them, you feel pain or you feel fear or you feel anger or resentment. And you know, my heart is still not healed. What do you do then? See, the forgiveness has not gotten into your heart. You've taken the first step. You've obeyed Christ and said the words. Well, if your heart does not change, you do what Christ said. He said, pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for those who hurt you. And pray. See, He says, love your enemies. And many times our enemies are in our own family. They are the ones who hurt us the most. So if you feel that you've said the words, but you don't really feel forgiveness, you don't, then pray for that person and pray every day, every night, until your heart changes and you truly feel love for that person. That is Christ's desire. That's God's desire for us. Not only to forgive that other person, but to have love in our heart for them. That doesn't mean that we're going to let someone who is abusive come back into our life and continue to abuse us. I will have another teaching about establishing boundaries and protecting ourselves from those who would abuse us. But we still must forgive them in our hearts. So when someone comes to me with some problem in their life, some Christian, they desire to change, but they've been unable to change. Say they have a problem with alcohol or drugs. I know that if they've been trying to repent of this sin, but they're unable to stop it, then there are hooks in their hearts that the devil has control of them. So first I want to find if there's someone they need to forgive. So I ask them, was your father an alcoholic or a drug addict or your mother? See, if a child has a parent who's an alcoholic or a drug addict, that wounds the child's heart. Until that wound is healed, he's going to have a difficult time living the Christian life. And usually there will be sins connected to that wound of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of judging that parent. And remember, the law says if you judge others, you will do the same things. Romans 2:1. So I lead them to say, I forgive my father for his alcoholism that hurt my mother, that hurt me, that hurt our family. I repent for judging and condemning him. I honor him. And then I lead them to say, I break the generational curses. I will teach one of the teachings is on generational curses. And I renounce any demons that have been tormenting me. I command them to leave me. So there are steps to setting people free, but the first step is to have them forgive and to repent of judgments. If someone comes and says they have a problem with pornography or adultery or homosexuality, I don't say, well, you've got to repent. That's a sin. Of course they have to repent. But if they come to me, they've been trying to repent, but they're unable to overcome this addiction, this hook in their heart. So I ask them if they have a sexual sin. Was your father unfaithful to your mother? Or was your mother unfaithful? Did your father abandon your mother for another woman? See, this deeply wounds a child. And the normal human response is to have unforgiveness and to have judgments in the heart, to judge that father and condemn him for that sin. Well, God says we are not to judge others, that God is the judge. that we are to forgive others and leave the judgment to God. So I lead them to say, I forgive my father for his unfaithfulness. I repent for judging and condemning him. I forgive the woman that he ran off with. I repent for judging her. I honor my father. If he's dead, I have them say, I honor his memory. And then I pray for them to be set free. If someone comes and has a problem with anger, which is a very common problem in Christian families, and it destroys many Christian homes, I don't have them say, oh, I repent of anger. They've been trying to do that. The first question I ask is, who was angry, your father or your mother? If they had a father who was angry, or a mother and explosive and cursed and hit and so forth, that wounded the child's heart, and they probably have unforgiveness and bitterness and have judgments in their heart. So I'll lead them to forgive that parent, repent of their judgments, honor that parent, and to renounce the spirit of anger and pray for their heart to be healed. Now, one of the things that is important, when I led that lady to forgive her mother who had abused her and who was abusing her children, I taught her that you've got to discipline yourself. This is the illustration I use. If you go to a dentist and your teeth as an adult, and your parents haven't taken care of your teeth and they've grown in crooked. When the dentist looks at your teeth and says, oh my, this is a terrible situation. I'm going to have to do surgery on your gums and straighten your teeth out. Then he takes you into surgery. He puts Novocaine in your gums and he pushes your teeth back into place. And then what does he do? Does he say, well, now you go home, everything will be okay? No, he puts braces or retainers on your teeth to hold them in place. Why does he do that? Because the teeth will tend to return to the position in which they grew. Many people have crooked hearts. Their hearts have grown with all sorts of bad habits and attitudes and addictions and anger and fear and resentments and all kinds of things. And God looks at our hearts and says, you need surgery. And that's what the ministry of inner healing and deliverance is. It's spiritual surgery. So we do surgery. We have them, we look for the hooks in their hearts. We have them say, I forgive my father. I forgive my mother. I repent for judging. I honor my father and mother. And the other steps that I will teach in subsequent lessons. That's spiritual surgery. I cast out the demons, the spirits that have been controlling my life and dominating my life. And then we pray for their hearts to be healed. But then we give them instructions. We put on the braces, the retainers on their hearts. We say, now you are going to have discipline to maintain the correction that we've brought into your life. You see, many times alcoholics and drug addicts have to go to a rehabilitation center for a matter of months. The ones that I work for keep the people in the clients, the alcoholics or drug addicts, for 9 months. Why? Because these are people who've been severely captured by the addiction of alcohol or drugs. And they need the ministry, they need spiritual surgery, they receive the ministry of inner healing and deliverance, but then every day they get up at 6 o'clock and go and have an hour of prayer and worship, and then they have breakfast, and then they come back and they have Bible study for 2 hours, and then they have counseling, and then they have a group, and they have to give an account of their life. They have physical work all afternoon. And then they have more praise and worship at night. And this goes on day after day, week after week, for 9 months. Why? They've grown up in a very undisciplined life, maybe an undisciplined home. Maybe they've run away from home or been in an abusive home. They need spiritual surgery. But the ministry of inner healing is not a shortcut to spiritual maturity. It is spiritual surgery. And then they need the braces, the retainers. They need to be in a small group in church. They need to be in an accountability group. Maybe they need a spiritual leader who will act as their spiritual father and give them accountability. They need daily prayer and Bible study. They can't just be set out on their own and say, okay, you're on your own. We hope you do okay. This is very difficult to overcome these inner wounds and these inner sins. Now, I always close by leading people in a time of prayer. And this is the way I do that. I have people close their eyes and I say, in this time, do you need to forgive your father? Was your father, did he reject you? Was he abusive? Was he an alcoholic? Was he unfaithful to your mother? Did he abandon your family? This hurt you very much, I know, but God wants you to forgive him, to have mercy on him. So just say, Lord, I forgive my father. I repent for judging him. I honor my father. If he's dead, say, I honor his memory. Do you need to forgive your mother? Did she hurt you in some of these ways? Or perhaps she rejected you and loved a brother or sister, and this wounded your heart. Just say, Lord, I forgive my mother. I repent for judging and condemning her. I honor my mother. Do you need to forgive grandparents, step-parents, a brother or sister? Do you need to forgive a teacher, classmates, a policeman, a priest or a pastor? Do you need to forgive your spouse or an ex-spouse? One time in a church, a lady gave her testimony. She said, my husband abandoned me 3 years ago, and it's been 3 years of hell. I have hated him. I've cursed him. I've talked about him. And she said, tonight, for the first time, I forgave him. And for the first time in 3 years, I have peace in my heart. See, that's God's will for us. He knows how we have been wounded, and he grieves with us. But he says the solution is that we must forgive others. Do you need to forgive someone who sexually molested you? This is a very terrible sin, and I will teach about that in another lesson. But let me lead you today to forgive that person. Say, Lord, that person hurt me very much who sexually molested me. But I know that to be set free from the trap of the devil, I have to forgive him. Lord, by your grace, I forgive that person. I repent for judging and hating him. And I cut the spiritual connections between us. You see, Paul teaches in Corinthians that we become one flesh even with a prostitute when you have sex with her. And I will teach about this. But just say, Lord, I break those one flesh connections, those spiritual connections. And I renounce the devil. I renounce any spirit of confusion or perversion or fear or anger that came into me. And I command those spirits to leave. And now I ask everyone to put their hand over their hearts. Lord, I ask you to come and heal our wounded hearts. Heal our memories. Heal our emotions. Heal our hearts, Lord. Heal our lives. Heal our bodies of sicknesses. Heal our families, Lord. Heal our churches. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.